All right, here we go. Hour number three of The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Trey back with you. Quitting time on your Tuesday. Time for the top five at five. Brought to you by IntegraCon Technologies. Visit IntegraCon.com to find out more about how you can manage your IT situation at work or at your business. John Tyler is in. John, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How's everybody?
Doing well, thanks.
Fantastic. Number one, the NFL will experiment with an alternative to the onside kick during Sunday's Pro Bowl. As in past years, there will be no kickoffs at all in the Pro Bowl. The twist this year is that teams will have two options after scoring. The first is to give the ball back to the opposition, which would start its drive at its own 25-yard line. The new second option for the scoring team would serve as a substitute for an onside kick. It would allow it to run one additional play from its own 25-yard line. If the scoring team gains 15 or more yards, it would retain possession. If it falls short, the opposition would take over at the dead ball spot. Essentially, it will be a 4th and 15 play. Also this year, Pro Bowl officials will be instructed to use a different standard for false start penalties on receivers who are flexed from the line of scrimmage. It will not be a false start if a receiver flinches or lifts 1 foot off the ground, provided he resets it for 1 second and or keeps 1 foot on the ground.
Is that really necessary? The first, I'm very intrigued by the first part.
Yes.
The receiver false start,
stupid.
That is necessary?
I think it's stupid. But that's
intriguing, man.
Yeah, I think that's very cool.
And this is just for the Pro Bowl.
They're trying it out.
Is there any thought about maybe making this the thing? Because they had a problem with onside kicks in the NFL this year.
Because they didn't take the running start anymore.
Yeah, it was like less than 1%. I don't know if anybody had a successful onside kick. But, it was virtually impossible to do. But you're saying, so instead of the onside kick, you get to run a play from your own 25.
Fourth and 15
yards. You make it. You get to keep the ball wherever you end up with it. And if you don't get it, the other team gets the ball right
where the ball stopped at. Yep. I think it's very cool. Because kickoffs are pointless anyways. Let's be honest. Kickoffs are pointless.
And they're trying to get that out of the game.
Yeah. I think this is a very cool, completely changes the game.
Feel bad for Cordero Patterson.
I like the onside kick the way it is. Like, the thing I was wondering is like, okay, you can't, it has to go 10 yards, right? Where do you kick off from in the NFL? The 30?
35, isn't it?
Yeah, 30. I think 35. It's 35. So, that would play out. I don't know, man. It's still.
And the team has to line up on the 30 to kick off in the 35, right?
Yeah.
And the thing there was, or no, they're lining up like right at it now.
Yeah, because
to prevent the running start.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So what if you, and I understand why you'd want to do that. What if you said, all right, we're going to kick off from like the 33 or I'm sorry, like the 37 yard line. And it still has to get to the 45 before you can touch it. But that way you'll be a little bit closer to start with and you don't get that running start. So it gives you an actual chance to recover it, but you still eliminate or reduce the risk of injury, which is the spirit of the rule anyway. And actually, you just make kickoffs from the 37 all the time, and that way there's even more touchbacks and less injuries.
I think that if they didn't change it big, like in a
see, in hey,
a
you're following me. Like that's a really good idea, right? That's all me, man. That's a good idea.
They kick off from the 35 like normal, but if they kick it through the uprights, they get a point, and the team gets the ball at the 25. I mean, they're kicking out of the back of the end zone anyways.
I don't think it would be really
other team
that hard for some of these kickers.
I feel like I feel like it's too easy for some of the kickers in. The defense doesn't have a chance to do anything. Like, at least on an extra point, a field goal, like, you have a chance to block it.
Well, that's what's cool, though, about this idea of going 4th and 15, essentially, from your own 25. The defense has a chance to stop it, and I don't know. The kickoff is stupid anyways.
I feel drunk talking about this.
Like, number two, former Florida quarterback Felipe Franks announced Monday he will remain in the SEC and transfer to Arkansas. He revealed his decision on Instagram, captioning an image of himself in a Razorbacks uniform. Franks also considered Kansas and UCF. He should be eligible immediately as a graduate transfer following his 4 years with the Gators. He only played 3 games in 2019 before his season was cut short due to an ankle injury.
He could get 2 years in Arkansas.
He looks like Mr. Tummins from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
He'll find a way to beat Tennessee next year.
You ever notice that?
He kind of does.
The Granger, the Duke of Granger pointed that out to me. It's uncanny.
Good for him, I guess. The only thing that, my only thought on that is, like, are we worried about that? Because we play there this year.
I mean, he's beat us every time he's played us.
I know. But now he's not at Florida. I always look at that more like, he's not the only bad quarterback we lost to who played for Florida. You take him out of Florida, I'm not nearly as scared of him, right? But he is a good player. He'll make them better. Like, it's a good pickup for Arkansas.
It can't be worse.
I don't know. Is he a good player, or was he just playing in Mullen's system and he made him look good?
I don't know. I mean, the game he got hurt in, he didn't look that great.
Yeah, he had a bunch of bad games, too.
Yeah, including the one he got hurt in. And they ended up going with the Trask kid, and then they came back. That was, what, Kentucky?
He knows how to throw a deep ball.
I mean, he's got an arm.
Number three, Tennessee takes on Ole Miss tonight at TBA at 9 p.m. on the SEC Network. Ole Miss basically has one player to watch out for, senior point guard Tyree. In four SEC games this season, Tyree has gone for 26, 27, and 36. Over the past three games, the senior point guard is 11 for 22 from three.
We can't put Vescovi on him, can we?
Just take care of business tonight.
He basically kept them in the game last year by himself. You put, what, Bowden?
I don't think it should be a problem tonight. You put Bowden on him. Switch off Vescovi if need be.
You can't have Vescovi. There's no way.
All right.
Maybe you can have Pond. Barnes says he can guard any position on the floor.
Have at it.
Let's see it.
I know. Tennessee should win tonight by 10.
All right. Number four, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame has started its voting. 213 ballots have been revealed, which is basically half of all the votes. Leading the way is Derek Jeter with 100%. Larry Walker, 83.6. Kurt Schilling at 78.4, and that's where the cutoff is. Then you have Barry Bonds at 71.8. Roger Clemens, 70.9%. Gary Sheffield at 36.6. Todd Helton, former Vol, 31.9. Manny Ramirez, 31.9. And Andrew Jones, 24.4% of the votes.
Who are you booing, Barry Schilling?
Yeah.
Not a Schilling supporter?
No.
Does he taking all whatever knuckleheadedness he's been involved in out of it. Like, does he – I don't know if his case stands up just because of pure baseball.
I'm taking Manny Ramirez over Todd Helton.
Yeah.
What?
I'm taking Manny Ramirez over Todd Helton.
I don't know enough about the numbers to say whether
Helton,
or not,
he's hampered because he played in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, people are just going to say – your numbers are inflated because of that, right?
That, yeah. And no one watched him because he played in Colorado. That, too.
And they made that one World Series.
Yeah. Is this Manny's first year on the ballot? I don't know.
But Manny was a steroid cheat, wasn't he?
At the end of the career.
If you're gonna keep Bonds and McGuire and all those guys out, like, shouldn't he be even worse? Because that was at the end, like, after the McGuire and Sosa stuff. And if we're keeping those guys out – like, I think you have to be consistent across the board.
Everybody loves Manny.
So, I'm talking about, like, if, you know, as far as the Schilling stuff, I don't care about, you know, his Facebook post or anything. Like, he would not be the only person.
I just didn't think he, other than, a few seasons. But, I mean, overall, I never thought he was.
He had some special moments. He was obviously a huge part of the Red Sox breaking the curse. And he was a very good pitcher for a very long time. Was he a Hall of Fame pitcher? I don't know. But I don't think, you know, you got to be consistent with these things. And people always use the Ty Cobb example as far as people who had abhorrent views and being in the Hall of Fame, and it shouldn't matter. It should be on the field. And where does steroid use, you know, because that is both off the field and on the field. And I just feel like if you shouldn't, if we're being consistent here, Kurt Schilling's off-the-field stuff shouldn't matter, and the steroid stuff should for Manny Ramirez and anybody else on that list who, I mean, there have been so many of them at this point that, I don't know, I'm I mean, you just opened the steroid wing of the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Number five, following in the footsteps of a new California law and decisions by the NCAA, a proposed Tennessee bill would allow college athletes to be paid for use of their name, image, or likeness. In summary, the bills would prohibit any public institution of higher education from stopping student athletes from earning compensation for their name, likeness, or image. The schools would have to be notified by the athletes of any compensating contracts they agree to. Scholarships would not be considered compensation under the bill, and schools would not be able to revoke a scholarship from a student who is earning compensation. This was introduced by two Memphis lawmakers, a Republican and a Democrat, together.
Did you see the Penny Hardaway clause in there, though? Basically, you can't penalize players or coaches for donating anything to a school.
Yeah, yeah. That's the little Memphis lawmaker added that they've added to it. I think this is a great thing, and if anything to bring back NCAA football, that I'm for it. I don't care. Just bring it back.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thank you, John Tyler. The top five at five brought to you by Integracon Technologies. Reminding you, response time is huge. If your company is having an IT crisis, with Integracon, they'll pick up the phone as soon as you call, and they can help you right then and there from the technical help desk. It's quick and easy when it comes to finding the right person to help with Integracon. Visit Integracon.com to find out more. They work with everybody from small mom and pop businesses to huge, massive healthcare systems with thousands of employees. And the best part is they are a Knoxville-based business started right here locally in East Tennessee. You can call 865-330-2323 to talk to somebody right now, 330-2323, or again, that website, Integracon.com. That's Integracon Technologies. Let's bring in the big man, Steve Hamer, to talk Tennessee hoops as the Vols about 4 hours away. Steve, these 9 o'clock tips, oh, it's just brutal, man. Why can't we start this at 7 o'clock like a civilized university?
You know, I don't know, guys. The older I get, I think we should start these games around 3 or 4. That way, I can get up at 6 and have breakfast and have my early dinner at 1 and call it quits around 7 or 8, but these 9 o'clock games they're tough.
There you go. Stevie, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, man. Enjoying a beautiful day, driving back from Middle Tennessee over to Knoxville to watch the Vols win tonight. So can't wait, fired up, just very, very excited.
Good. Well, we'd love to get your thoughts. We haven't talked to you yet this year, so this has just been a weird year, Steve, as far as the Lamonte injury. Obviously, that was the huge monkey wrench in the whole thing. But then getting two new players in the middle of the season like this, and I was trying to think back, and it's hard for me to remember. We got Stokes in the middle of the year that one year, but nothing like this. This has just been a roller coaster already, and we're barely halfway through the season.
Yeah, it's been a bizarre season. It really has. It started off with us being ranked in the top 25, we're thin in certain positions, fans are really still on that high from last year and not knowing what to expect for this year. And then, Lamonte goes away, and people now realize what he meant to the Tennessee basketball team, or the health of the basketball team. It was much more than just points. It was the assists. It was setting people up, it's a tough, tough loss. And then you fast forward and you get Santiago, who had been in America for a cup of coffee in a day, and he comes in and knocks down 6 threes.
Yeah.
And then when you think it's over about Uros, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Uros, I think.
Yeah.
But he comes in, and he's a little raw right now, but I expect for him to get better and better and better and become a dominant player at that position. So it's been a strange season, but it's trending up. You got to believe that it's trending up.
Yeah, and it just seems like for Coach Barnes, and he made a really interesting comment, I think, after the Georgia game, that they have pretty much been spending the majority of their time in practice working on offense just to get him up to speed, just so they can play on that end. And I was thinking, man, what a un-Rick Barnes thing to say. Like, he how much he focuses on defense. So that just kind of serves to illustrate how different it's been. But to your point, if they could just settle down, and we think this is the roster. They got 10 scholarship guys eligible right now. This is what we're going to have to work with the rest of the year. It seems like there's another level of play that these guys can reach. And if they get there, you know, you're 11-6, you win tonight, 12-6, 4-2 in the league. That's a pretty good spot to be in when you talk about NCAA tournament possibilities.
Yeah, I'll take that all day. You know, you this is a big game tonight. It really is. You know, if you can go 4-2 and somehow, you know, hold serve at home the rest of the season and you know, maybe steal a game or two on the road and have a fair showing in the conference tournament, you know, who knows? We can get to the NCAA tournament and maybe surprise some teams. But it starts tonight. But I like where we are. You know, we are. It's got to be very, very tough on Coach Barnes and his staff, and the fact that it's like starting and stopping. You know, okay, we lost Lamonte, now what do we do? Then Santiago comes in. Okay, we're settled in. We don't think we're going to get Euros, and then he comes in. So if we can get these guys acclimated and get them ready to play, you know, I think we can have a pretty good run at it. I really do.
Steve Hamer with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Steve, really interested to get your take on Uroš Plavšić. I know we haven't seen him a lot, but, you know, as 1 7-footer reviewing another, what's your early take on the big man and his potential here so far?
I think he's got a lot of potential. Big, strong body. You know, we obviously need him to be that paint protector, the rim protector. We need him to score, 8-10 points a game. You know, he doesn't have to be a dominant center in terms of scoring 18-20 points a game. If he can be that guy that gives you 8-10 points a game, that grabs maybe double-digit rebounds a game, he's a game changer, really is. You know, he's got a good soft touch around the basket, can step out 10-15 feet and knock down a shot or two, but it's just a matter of him getting used to the culture of Tennessee basketball, getting used to not fouling. And you know, I went to several of Coach Barnes' practices over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, he's getting on to Uroš as much as he's getting on to anyone about fouling. You know, you got to play defense without your hands. So if you can keep him out of foul trouble, get him ready for SEC play, get him caught up to speed, you know, again, he's got great touch. So why can't he score 8-10 points a game and get double-digit rebounds per game?
You know, you mentioned he's got a nice outside shooting touch. We haven't seen that yet in a game. What about you back in the day? Did Kevin O'Neill ever give you the green light to step outside and show a little range?
Yeah, you know, the only time I had the green light is when the shot clock was in the negatives, and that was never. So, you know, I knew where my place was. It was in the paint. And you know, but the game has changed so much. You know, I'm a dinosaur in the fact that, you know, there are no back to the basket centers anymore. You looked around the conference back in the day, and you had Eric Dampier, and you had Roy Rogers, and you had the Meat Hook, Dimitri Hill. You had all those guys, and they're all back to the basket, you know, post players. Well, those don't exist anymore. So I'm hoping that Uroš brings that back and can be someone that's a stalwart in the paint.
What do you make of Fulkerson, our other big guy in there? And, you know, he's been up and down, and it just seems like, and I guess this is obvious, you know, he had a double-double the other week, maybe against South Carolina, and then he kind of disappeared. I think he only attempted two shots against Georgia, and, you know, Coach Barnes a little bit frustrated after the game, and obviously he wants him to shoot more. How do we get more consistency out of John Fulkerson?
I think we can get more consistent than we're accustomed to. You know, it makes Fulkerson's job that much more tough when you're not knocking down shots from the perimeter consistently. You know, when you don't have to come off of the screen as a defender over top when you're trying to defend Jordan Bowden, when you can go underneath screens because he's been shooting the ball you know, fairly poorly. You know, they sag back, and then, you know, it makes it so hard on Fulke because, you know, Fulke is probably not the number one, you know, asset on offense right now. And you know, his job is to go in there and get kind of muck it up a little bit and get some points here and there, but he's got to do the dirty work. So So when he is the focal point on offense, that should tell you things are not going well. But if you can get Santiago to continue to shoot at a good clip, Jordan Bowden round back into form, then we're going to be all right. We'll figure some things out, and Fulke's going to get to where he's, you know, maybe having 10 points a game and 8 or 9 rebounds a game.
Steve, appreciate your time jumping in here. Did you see, just curious, Grant Williams last night get teed up for your Celtics?
So, you know, I was in the bedroom last night, and my 15-year-old runs into the bedroom. I'm thinking that, you know, the house is on fire because we never see him. You know, it's PlayStation talking to his girlfriend or bust. So he runs into the bedroom, and he says, "Dad, did you see what happened to Grant?" And I said, "No, I have no idea." He said, "Grant Williams got teed up for doing something." So I briefly heard the story. You guys will have to fill me in.
Oh, so he it was pretty ridiculous. I was kind of the same way. I was just lying around, and I see on a message board, "Hey, Grant Williams got teed up," and I'm thinking, "What? Like, what did he do?" I couldn't even imagine. And I guess he made a corner three, which again, you know, big men shooting threes, and evidently, I guess Boogie Cousins is on the Lakers bench, and maybe he was jawing a little bit. And Grant turns to him and gives him a thumbs up with a smile. And the official tees him up. He wow. literally just gave him a thumbs up, Steve. It was the most Grant Williams technical wow. you could imagine.
Pretty weak.
Wow. That's bizarre. That is absolutely bizarre. Now, he gave him the thumbs up with his thumb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was his thumb. Yeah. I can't imagine Grant Williams doing the old one-finger yeah. salute.
That's, yeah, you know, you had Kevin O'Neill gave two thumbs up to the Vanderbilt crowd back in 1996. Yeah.
That was a good old day.
Over well, so you just have to make sure that it's with the thumb. So it doesn't seem like Grant, but that's very strange.
What was the worst Kevin O'Neill getting teed up? I remember a couple of them from back in the day. Were there any specific ones that stand out to you?
Yeah, several times. When things seemed to be going poorly, as they often did during that season, I remember, you know, we had that plexiglass over by the scores.
I remember this one.
And you could hit that thing, and it would rattle. You could hear it at Neyland Stadium. And there were times when Kevin O'Neill would get on to Aaron Green or someone, and he would kick that thing as hard as he possibly could, and the place would go deathly silent. And I remember the officials looking at him like, "Are you crazy? Like, I'm not going to tee you up, but don't ever do that again." So,
well, yeah,
I remember he broke it.
Like that.
I remember he broke. Oh, yeah. He kicked a hole in it one night.
He's a wild.
Like
man.
A plexiglass thing. Like his foot almost got stuck in the thing. I was like, they're going to have to stop the game to get his foot out of the scorer's table. I love Steve Hamer and Kevin O'Neill stories. It's guilty pleasure. I love it. Barry, you wanted to?
Yeah, Steve, did you? I was trying to remember. You never got a technical while you were here, did you?
Oh, yeah, I got a few. Hopefully my kids are not listening. But, you know, I was passionate about the game. And sometimes things happen in the heat of the battle. You know, perhaps someone from Kentucky dives on the floor and, you know, it becomes a scrum and a lot of things happen at the bottom of a, you know, they talk about dog piles in football. You know, a lot of things happen when you're battling for a basketball, too. So, you know, I got a few tees, but overall, I respected the officials. They had a job to do, and I think overall they did a great job.
Well, I'm just, and also, you know that you've got to go back and look O'Neill in the eye. If you don't get in that scrum and throw a couple of elbows, you know, that's not acceptable, I would imagine.
That's exactly right. We're doing loose ball drills on the concrete in the foyer of Thompson Bowling Arena if I don't get on that floor.
Steve, appreciate the time as always, my man. Thanks for jumping on with us. Travel safe and enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, thank you guys so very much, man. Anytime. Looking forward to it again.
Yeah, thanks, man. VFL Stevie Hamer making his presence felt today on The Drive. Bear, do you remember that when O'Neill kicked the hole in that? I think it was a First Tennessee or something sign.
Yeah, he made me nervous. We went, like, I went to the same church he did. And, like, we'd be in there with the, you know.
It was a Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
being there with the, like the old ladies that are.
How many Hail Marys did that dude have to do?
I don't. But he'd sit there, and it was like me, O'Neill, like three or four nuns. This is like 5:30 in the morning, and the old ladies from the from the parish, and he would sit, and you know how Trey does that thing where he bounces his knee constantly. O'Neill was like that.
It's restless leg syndrome.
And he'd have his keys in his hand. He had a lot of keys on that key ring. I guess he had a key to everything at the arena.
Yeah.
And they would just jangle. And you'd hear that. You'd just hear keys jingling. It
just like drove the nuns crazy or something?
Yeah, but I mean, he was crazy. Nobody sat near him. I mean, he was just – he had a high motor.
Quick break. We got to get caught up here. More of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Get ready for late basketball tonight. Ole Miss be doing volunteer reaction afterwards.
I have to say, man, Steve Hamer, probably my favorite guest. He is the nicest guy, Russ.
Super nice guy. Great player, too, man. Back in the
like you call him, he's like, hey, how have you been? Things going okay for you?
Yeah.
He's like, really, you know.
There are certain cool things about doing this because I remember – well, there are a lot of cool things about doing the sports radio show, but one of the coolest to me is, like, getting to work with guys that I were, like, a fan of as a kid. And I guess Hamer was – I want to say his last year was O'Neill's second year.
He's right in between me and you age-wise.
So that would have been, like, 93-ish. And so I was like 12, 13, and like, you know, ate up with Tennessee basketball for some reason and just like a terrible period. And he was a great player on some not-so-great teams, but I always remember the night he went down to the SEC tournament in his senior year, and they were playing Alabama in the 9 o'clock game, I think, and he dropped 30 and 20 on them. And O'Neill, after the game, said, Steve Hamer made some money tonight. And he got drafted by Celtics and – played in the NBA for a bit, so yeah, he was.
Bad knees got him, right?
I think so. Yeah, he was a good player, though, man, for sure. 865-546-8200, your number to get on The Drive here. Fan Run Radio, 546-8200. We go wide open here to end the show for the next half hour or so. Citizens National Bank is the official bank of The Drive. They've got 21 branches in Knox, Sevier, Jefferson, Hamblin counties. Free checking accounts at Citizens National Bank with free internet banking, free bill paying, free e-statements. No minimum balance requirement. Citizens National Bank online at cnbtn.com. That's cnbtn.com. Nothing new on the Antonio Brown situation, I'm guessing?
No, other than there's very large police presence, and it's still an active scene.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's probably, if I had to guess, you see in these situations, probably, imagine, you know, the B word barricaded comes to mind. I wonder if he's barricaded inside the house.
Oh, God.
Somewhere.
There's no way this ends well, right? I mean.
I think with him, he's such a high-profile celebrity that – I mean, unless he's just like killed somebody, and I mean, if it strictly is just a matter, I got a feeling they'll use non. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's going to end like horribly.
So again, and this is speculation station here, but the last time we saw him, he was live Instagramming whatever, a video, periscoping whatever, you know, on his
with his kids
front lawn. Yeah, his I guess kids and baby mama, whatever, and there are all sorts of police there breaking up this thing, and he is just running off at the mouth at these police officers who are showing the patience of Job not to, like, I mean, pull out a taser and go to town on this dude, right? Just being a complete classless dolt. I can't help but wonder if they're like, okay, like, we'll see you here. Like, act like that towards the police, and then when you get in a situation like this, a domestic situation, the police probably not going to have a lot of patience with you, AB, and you done it to yourself by acting a fool earlier.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me. I really think, man, this is just from the outside looking in, just a casual observer. Mm-hmm. He has the appearance of somebody that, you know, once this, whatever this is resolved this evening, I would imagine he's probably probably going to have to involuntarily spend some time at a hospital, maybe getting evaluated.
And it comes back to the Delonte West video. And, yeah, man, I mean, just these dudes need psychiatric care. They need to be evaluated, medicated, and they need therapy to learn how to deal with their issues because, man, like, they're clearly...
Well, I mean,
they got a screw loose, man. Both of them.
Part of Antonio's problem is more and more people are starting to wonder if it's, you know, head injury related. But the only way they can say that definitively is if they actually study your brain, and that's kind of hard to do when you're alive.
He's a Butch guy, isn't he? Didn't he play for Butch?
Yes,
Central Michigan.
Butch always claimed him.
It's the Butch effect. I don't know if Antonio Brown actually
was that when Butch was running back coach up there?
I don't know if he actually recruited him or anything like that, or if he was just like receivers coach and they're like, yeah, here's Antonio Brown.
He was actually running backs coach up there.
Was he?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Antonio Brown, according to TMZ, accused of felony battery and burglary in alleged incident with a driver who works for a moving company.
Maybe that's why the big truck's there. Those situations can get heated with movers.
Yeah.
Well, and we know this guy just doesn't have any respect for anybody.
No, he's completely insane, Russell. He's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I mean, we saw how – well, we didn't see, but if you read the big article about how he rips people off and, like, the chef that he hired and how he just completely, like
– Yeah, and just a wildly inappropriate, like, passing gas right in
– Yeah, in front of a doctor.
It was a doctor. Yeah, it was a doctor. Yeah.
It's almost like some of the Bill Cosby stuff that you heard coming out. And, like, he wasn't that crazy publicly, but, like, the stories about him – in addition to all the rapiness, like just the way his weird power trips over people, like he would have people, like he had a security guard or something that worked with him that like he demanded that like you come tuck me into bed every night. You got to come tuck me in. He just had like this weird, and that's what the drugging the women thing was. So like it just the power, the control aspect.
It's all that Jell-O money, man.
I'm just gonna own you.
All that pudding money.
Well, I'll tell you, looking back on it.
Come tuck me into bed. Tuck me. Oh, Arthur, get the pudding and come tuck me into bed.
Mm. Did you see Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live when he took a shot
tuck
at him?
Tuck me in, son.
A few weeks ago.
Eddie
Murphy took a shot. Remember back in the day, you know, Bill Murray castigated him for his foul language. He said, "You're using the filth and florin and all the bad language." And
Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said Bill
to
Murray.
Eddie Murphy. Did I say Bill Murray?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Whatever. Bill Cosby.
Same thing.
To Eddie Murphy. And then that was the whole joke. Richard Pryor told him, you know.
Well, Bill Cosby had that high and mighty thing, too. It's like, don't curse. And he's telling, like, pull
you're
your pants
serial
up,
rapist.
Son. Yeah, and all this stuff. And, like, meanwhile, he was just a complete monster behind the scenes.
Slipping lewds to God knows what else to women all the way back to the
60s.
Yeah. Yeah, but Eddie Murphy took a shot at him.
Yeah.
On Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago.
Did he do the hot tub skit when he came back?
I haven't seen all of it yet. Hmm.
That was a good
sitting
one.
On my DVR.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We're getting caught up after we went long there in segment number one. Stay tuned. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio back with more after this. A person in Washington State, has shown up with the mysterious
Wanu
respiratory infection.
Wanu Han.
Wuhan.
Wuhan
Tang. Wu-Tang virus. I don't know. Are you scared about this bear?
Not
it's
really.
Killed six people.
Actually, I am.
It's an American now. It's made.
I'm telling you, if it's an
Captain
America.
Captain Trips has made landfall.
Good God almighty.
How's that for a reference?
Yeah.
The stand.
If it's here in America, I'll give it a month before Big Trey rolls in here with it.
Why did you take a shot at my dude? He's not even here.
He's going to walk in with it. I know he is.
Federal officials announcing expanded screenings for the infection at major airports in the United States.
It's too late now, man.
Once it's here,
way
it's
too
here.
Late. Yeah. Yeah. The only reason that one got noticed so early is that the person who came down with it, he's in good condition, he's still in the hospital. I just read that article, the commercial break. Thank God he was very conscientious, and as soon as he started feeling sick, he immediately went to the emergency room and notified them that he had been in – because he had actually been in Wuhan.
I don't know, somewhere in China.
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of the place. Whatever they're calling that virus is where it originated, Wuhan.
What China. Are the symptoms?
That's one thing I could – yeah.
Just get really
sick. It always is, isn't
it? It's a coronavirus.
That sounds nice, corona. Get lime.
A coronavirus? Have you ever had a corona pepper?
No, I don't think so.
That's a flip side of it.
It's scary, but it feels like this stuff pops up. Remember SARS and the SARS scare? Oh, we're all going to die of SARS. Like
Ebola.
Nobody got SARS. Ebola's a little scary, man. Like, you don't want Ebola
about
it, over
the
here.
Only thing about Ebola is that it's it burns through people so fast that you die before you can really give it to anybody else. Like, it burns, like, when you have an outbreak of that.
I don't know, man. It
kills everybody so
fast
before you can start
traveling. I remember a couple of years ago when they were like, yeah, let's bring the Americans that went over to Africa to help the Ebola victims. Let's bring them back here and treat them in America. I don't know. Let's just treat them over there. I'm compassionate and everything, but you kind of knew what you were signing up for when you went to treat the Ebola victims in Africa.
Well, like, I've got some more information for you on a coronavirus. Okay.
Is it a corona light virus or
no.
just a
it's a contagious virus. Oh. It causes symptoms similar to the common cold. Most people get a coronavirus at some point in their life.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like
runny nose.
ER music playing.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Dr.
Clogged sinuses.
Seeing patients, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's see what else. Clogged sinuses, running. This seems like counterintuitive.
Clogged sinuses, runny nose. That just seems headache. Like allergy season in East Tennessee.
Headache.
A Tuesday.
Cough.
That's it.
Fever. I mean, it sounds like the flu to me. Kind of got a cold. Although
it's made landfall.
You know,
did SARS ever make it over here, or was that contained to Asia?
I think it was
bird flu.
Yeah.
All that contained.
Yeah, it's scary, man.
That's great. The death spore is going to get us just when we're getting good at football again.
I mean, if we're going to get wiped out by something like that, it's going to be something like Marburg.
What?
Marburg.
Yeah.
Isn't that a brand of cigarettes?
No, that's Marlboro, you dullard. Marburg is weaponized Ebola. The Soviets took the Ebola virus. There's a place called, you want to get scared? Look up a place called Anthrax Island.
No.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
No,
that's where they like experimented
with
all the
germ and
chemical warfare.
Chemical and germ and biological warfare. The Soviets took the Ebola virus and made it, I think it's like either 98 or 99% mortality rate if you contract it.
Wow. You think those weapons are still available somewhere?
I mean, they're behind a gate with, you know, a pretty decent padlock.
In some dude's backyard shed, just waiting on the Iranians to get a hold of them. Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of scary stuff, you really want to see something scary, is look up online the videos of like how the old Soviet Union nations are securing their thousands of nuclear warheads that were scattered all over the old Soviet Union.
You lead a weird life, don't you?
No.
That's the bear, man.
Just his like search history must be amazing. Like, very eclectic search history.
Well, I learned about Marburg when I took there was a class at UTSA.
In med school?
No.
Bear med school.
Dr. Bear.
If you are struggling with ED, if you're worried about, hey, man, the last thing you want is to get the coronavirus and be dying there and not being able to maintain in the bedroom with your lady. You want to go out with a bang, don't you, folks? You need WaveTech Medical and acoustic wave therapy. Fellas, if ED is wreaking havoc on your love life, you need to talk to WaveTech about acoustic wave therapy. This is a revolutionary treatment that doesn't involve any painful injections or pills or creams or anything like that. It's 100% non-invasive. It really is a miracle procedure. And you can contact WaveTech Medical right here in Knoxville. Their offices are over here off North Shore Drive. 865-761-4401 is their number to set up your free appointment, free consultation, 761-4401, or just visit WaveTechMedical.com and catch the wave today with WaveTech Medical. Quick timeout. The shocking conclusion of the drive headed your way. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. All right, wrapping up the drive here this afternoon. Let's get Marcus in here. Good afternoon, Marcus. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man. Doing well. Thanks.
Did you guys see that that clip of Juwan Jennings pretty much bullying the DB in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
No, I missed that.
Well, it was during the show.
Maybe. Oh, wait. Yeah. Somebody. It just popped up. I'm watching it right now.
He embarrassed that DB.
Oh, he mossed him. Yeah. Big time.
Beautiful.
He's gonna.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think he's gonna get a look. I don't know how early it'll be, but he'll make a roster.
You saw that first round projection. I mean, that might be high, but if that's even on the table, then
I mean, guys that can do that are at a premium. I wonder, like you were saying the other day, did they try and put like another maybe 20 pounds of muscle on him and make him into that hybrid tight end wide receiver kind of? I mean, he's I could see him being a Travis Kelce.
I just think he's a slot possession receiver guy. I think I would love to have him on the Titans to play that role that Adam Humphries was supposed to play, but was just hurt so much.
I mean, any more tight ends, there's two distinct types. You got the normal tight end that stays in and blocks and all that, and then you got these guys like Kittle and Kelce. And
can do it all.
Yeah.
Those dudes are freaks.
You think Taylor's still probably going to be the first one drafted out of the Vols seniors?
Darrell?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Juwan is making a lot of noise right now down there at the Senior Bowl, like a lot.
I just think he's got the right size, and I think if he gets some good looks at the Senior Bowl, I think he's going to get some good interviews in. I'd personally like to see him on the Titans. Maybe he could be one of our edge rushers.
I think all our guys that are – like, we're going to have five guys, and they're probably get drafted. I think Batuli has a lot of upside. I think Nigel Warrior has a ton of upside. And the one guy that I just keep coming back to that, okay, he might not have put up stellar numbers, but when Marquez Callaway gets on the track and runs a 4.5 40, which I think he's going to do, and has this out-of-this-world vertical leap, and he catches anything that's within like a 10-foot radius, teams are going to have a hard time passing up on that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a known commodity. I mean, anybody that can do that, those guys are well
Callaway,
paid.
Did he have a single drop? Can you remember Marquez Callaway ever dropping a pass? I can't.
Probably not off the top of my head. And if it was a horrible pass. I don't think he ever dropped one that just like hit him in the hands in stride. I mean,
even when he got just clobbered by someone, he still didn't drop it. Like
he's
at Missouri.
A tough one. I don't know. I still think Jennings is probably going to be the first one off the board. I really do.
I think so too.
I'm just glad we're going to get some balls in the draft this year. I feel like I think we're finally past the era where we see the guys that Butch Jones kind of messed up on, and like Mosley's looking pretty good with the 49ers. And
hell, Butch has got arguably, I mean, they didn't do much here, but I mean, Alvin Kamara is one of the five best running backs in the league. He's kind of been one of those guys that's revolutionizing the running back position with what all he does. You've got Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Cam Sutton,
Justin Coleman,
Emmanuel Mosley. I mean, let's face it. If
drafted higher though, if it wasn't for Jones and his,
oh sure,
especially Kamara. I think Kamara would have been a first rounder if it wasn't for him being kind of underutilized in our program. But
yeah, that he had low mileage on him. I'll tell you another one. If the Steelers hadn't traded Josh Dobbs to Jacksonville, he would have been the Steelers starter for a good part of the year. And he's a lot more durable than those other guys. We might have gotten.
Yeah, I bet they're regretting that trade after seeing what they could have had this year.
Yeah, they got to be feeling pretty good. They also got Minka Fitzpatrick for what I thought was a steal.
Well, that's true, yeah. Hey, Russell, I was going to ask you before I go. What are your thoughts on the Titans' defensive coordinator position? Who do you think they look at? I don't know. I've heard a little bit about Wade Phillips' name being thrown out there. Oh. I don't know how I feel totally about that, though. But
oh man, I hope they don't do that. Like I don't want to retread. I want
if he'd hired Gerard Mayo, I'd probably think about maybe coming back.
Somebody
join the fold.
Up and coming. I know Romeo Crennel just got demoted by the Texans,
God.
And
you don't want him.
He's a Patriots guy. I mean, he's coordinated good defenses, but again, retread is the name that comes to mind. I just wonder. I don't have a ton of names, Marcus. I would think that they will go with an analytics heavy, young, up and coming guy to kind of match John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and what is the general makeup of this team would be my guess. Thanks, man. We're out of time. Thanks, Marcus. Apologies to Roger. Ran out of time here on the show. Big thanks to everybody for tuning in, making it happen. Don't forget, I'll be with you as soon as the ball game is over. Late one tonight on Voluntary Reaction, about 11 o'clock or so. For John Tyler, Trey, Bear, Hayden, I'm Russell. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.